Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Notice as well, he's the father of our faith, but he's also the friend of God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to draw your attention to that passage today, and particularly verses 8 through 13. The life of Abraham in this passage in Hebrews 11, which for some of you that would know the Bible, know that this is like a chapter about faith. No other chapter says more times about faith. I think it's 27 times the word faith is. There are 16 different names, proper names that are given of people, specifics. And then there are others that we don't know all of their names. And so we say, all right, let's look at some of these lives. And can I just do a little brief review for us? Now I'm just going to click through these because the whole passage works through the expansion of the just shall live by faith. Who were they? We talked a couple of weeks ago and last week about the life of Abel. And all of these people teach us about faith. For example, the life of Abel, who lived by faith in worshiping God. Do you remember that? And then from there, he gave us the area of faith, and Enoch, who lived by faith in walking with God. He walked with God. And then the area of Noah, who really lived by faith by working for God. So these men were saved. They were set aside. God, this is my life. You do what you want. Whatever vocation and what vocation I'm in, I'm going to serve you. And Noah did that, and he was a portrait of service. He was working for God. And then in the Bible, you move from verse 4 down to verse 8 when it talks about, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance. Or in other words, he was called to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And he says Abraham here lived by faith in wandering with purpose. Look at your Bibles. He says it in verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He sojourned. He literally wandered with purpose. He really didn't know for sure where he was going, as we're going to find out, but you find that Abraham lived by faith in wandering with purpose, because faith involves belief with legs on. It is a confidence and a courage in Christ. Let me walk through the two questions that every one of these Bible characters we've answered, and let me just do that today, if I may. And I want to kind of park on the second one. So let me just walk through the first one, which was, who was he? We read about Abraham right here in Hebrews 11, but there's more said about Abraham in this passage than any other of the patriarchs. And the book of Genesis, more is written about Abraham and his family than any other family. Because really, the Bible gives three titles to who Abraham was, and it's critical you understand. First of all, Abraham was the father of our faith. Number two, notice as well, he's the father of our faith, but he's also the friend of God. The Bible's expanding it. He's the friend of God. Wouldn't you like to have a faith that fathers other people in faith? Wouldn't you like to be called the friend of God? And in addition to that, he was also a faithful testimony. He had a faithful testimony. And by the way, there were many people that had quoted that. Fact is, Stephen, actually, previous to going to death, said it this way. Listen about Abraham. He said in Acts 7, then he said to the high priest, are these things so? And he said, Stephen said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, listen to me. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, which, by the way, is our modern-day Iraq. It's 140 miles from where downtown Baghdad is right now. That's where Abraham grew up. There are the Chaldees, a wonderful cosmopolitan place. And that's where the Bible says, he moves on, that he lived in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharon. And he said unto him, God said unto him, get you out of thy country and from your kindred and from into the land which I shall show thee. You mean Stephen here is saying he's a faithful testimony. Abraham left what he knew and he began wandering with purpose. That's Abraham. And he's saying all this, not just for writing of history, but it's history for our sake so we would learn. You know what we can learn out of this? Let me draw our attention today. What does his life of faith teach us? And I think the text reveals these four life lessons, and I'm only probably going to get to one today, but come back, okay, because I want to finish it. This is what it says. Notice these, I'm going to give you these four words because I think all four of these words sum up. But notice he says in verse 8, notice the word called. Notice the word obeyed. Notice the word in verse 9, sojourned. And notice the word in verse 9 as well, dwelling. He was dwelling in tabernacles. You know what that says to us? Let me help you because I'm going to tell you, there are people today that are wandering. They're wandering, but they are not wandering with purpose, my friend. They're wandering through life, and hey, some folks, man, they're having a great time at it. And I see other people that are wandering, and they're not having such a good time. And you know what the real sad thing is? I see some people that are like wandering, and they're acting like they're having a great time. But in the still, quiet moments of their heart and life, when they pillow their head at night, there's a loneliness and an ache, saying, God, there's got to be something more to this. That's why you have a life of Abraham that expresses a person that's wandering with purpose. And this is the process that he went through, how he got there. It's really the process that you and I go through. Notice, first of all, the word called. And notice the truth is that when he was called, he obeyed. There was no wrestling with God's call. Fact is, the word called there, if I can give you a little grammar here, it's the term what we would call present participle, which basically means when he was being called. In other words, as soon as he understood what God was saying, he started packing. Okay, God, you said this, I'm going to do it. That's what you want me to do. And here you find Abraham, who later was called Abraham. It was Abram. He was no different than you and I. But for him, here he was born to Terah, his father. He had two brothers. He was raised in the city of Ur. He married Sarai, which basically Abraham's life looked great. But there was two complications. One, his wife could not be pregnant. And number two, God told him to leave everything. God called him. The question sometimes is, well, God, okay, Pastor, I will do what God wants me to do if he calls me. How do I know if he calls me? I mean, I've had people say to me, man, look, I read through the Bible and some of these people that are called, I mean, I'd do it too if I knew God spoke that clearly. Oh, I mean, you know, I'm Moses and God speaks me through a burning bush that is not consumed. Oh, I'd do something too. I mean, I'm Jacob and my head's on a rock and I'm having a dream and angels coming up and down the ladder. Remember these stories when you were a child? Oh man, God spoke to him. I'd obey too. What about Daniel? Having visions. Man, if I had those kind of Bible examples of people called by God, wouldn't I? I would. I'd like to suggest to you, my friend, that how you hear his voice, we have a greater advantage. No, yeah, we have a greater advantage. Fact is, the writer of Hebrews starts out the book in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. This is what he says. Did God speak to you? Has God spoken to you before? This is how he says it here. God, who in sundry times or in many times past and in divers manners or in different ways, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And he hath in these last days spoken unto us, listen, by his Son, whom he is appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, listen, purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hey, you know what? We have even a better, more accurate way of hearing God's voice. And you know what he's talking about? It's through Christ. And Christ said, I am the Word. It's called the Bible. It's the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It's the written Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Abraham did not end up reading something in black and white and say, oh, God spoke to me. God, the glory of God revealed unto Abraham. And I'm going to tell you, if you are going to hear the voice of God, you are going to hear it through this book. You're going to end up as a Christian. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And in addition to that, he gave you the Holy Spirit, child of God, John 15, and he prompts your spirit. He puts into your mind the Word of God that guides and directs you. I find for most Christians, can I talk to you as Christians? I find for most Christians, they waffle, they hesitate, they doubt, because they're just not sure. I just don't know what God wants me to do. And Satan has spent more time with people getting them offline and wondering and doubting and really living in disbelief. Well, we start thinking God's will is like something he's going to go hide. I'm going to go hide this so you can't see it. When God's a loving Heavenly Father, according to Scripture, and he says, I'm going to let you know. This is what I want you to do. You say, Pastor, that's great. But what about I'm deciding whether to buy a house or not? How I know? What's God going to end up doing? Writing it in the sky? I doubt it. If he does, let me know. I'd like to get the cross pen that he wrote it in. I don't think he's going to do it that way. How he's going to do it? He's going to, in your daily activity of God's Word, God's going to speak to you through his Word. And it's a more sure word of testimony. Understand, he was called by God. You know why I'm sitting in Guam right now? Because of this right here. The fact is, because of this example of Abraham in Acts 7. I was sitting in a motel room on the East Coast at an educators convention. And I was finding myself through the process, as many people do, about trying to discern the will of God. And I found myself over a four-month period when this church asked us to come to candidate to be a pastor. I didn't want to leave. Why do I want to leave? I enjoyed doing what I was doing. And I enjoyed the people I was working with. Why do I want to go back to Guam? We visited, had a week, had a great time. And I'm sitting in a motel room 4 months later, after a call, would you be interested in candidating? And no. Well, would you end up thinking about praying about? Yeah. Would you end up filling out this 20-page application? Not really. I said, if you want to know about me, let me give you five names of men. You call them, and if you're still convinced, then you let me know. Because honestly, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And I began a process in my own mind of going through saying, after actually getting to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, the passage I read to you, when the Bible says Abraham went out on land he knew not. He left his family and his friends and his family. And I'm going to tell you something. It's like God spoke to me. You say, Pastor, did he speak to you audibly? Nope. But in my inner being, I knew, God, this is you, and this is what you want. And I went through a process of saying, Lord, do you want me to pastor? To Lord, I think you want me to pastor. To Lord, if you don't want me to pastor, show me. To finally, Lord, you want me to pastor. It really wasn't that complicated. And I'm sitting here because of it. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm happy I'm doing it. I love doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't want to do anything else. You say, well, you know, that's like you, Pastor, because you're like, you know, a paid guy and stuff like that. Really? Is it any different for you, my friend, Christian? Is it any different? Is this like a qualification of the text? Well, it's just talking about full-time people. Abraham was a businessman, my friend, and he was very successful. He was not a full-time pastor, preacher. So is it going to be any different for you? But you know what? If you're not asking him, God, would you just like give me direction? He'll do it. He promises he'll do it.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.